السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الزاني لا ينكح إلا زانية أو مشركة، والزانية لا ينكحها إلا زان أو مشرك، وحرم ذلك على المؤمنين. والذين يرمون المحصنات ثم لم يأتوا بأربعة شهداء فاجلدوهم ثمانين جلدة ولا تقبلوا لهم شهادة أبدا، وأولئك هم الفاسقون. إلا الذين تابوا من بعد ذلك وأصلحوا فإن الله غفور رحيم. We discussed in the previous lesson the penalty and the punishment for the person that commits zina, the adulterer or the adulteress. This hukam of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, this order of Allah ta'ala that is to make rajam, that is to pell to death, this is the order of Allah not only in the Quran, but it is the order of Allah that was in the Torah and in the Injil, in the divine scriptures. In the time of Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wasallam, an incident of zina took place amongst the Yahud, and they found this order of Allah very difficult. So they thought, let us come to Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wasallam, thinking that perhaps the deen of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam will have an easier way out, which Allah ta'ala mentions in the sixth juz of the Quran. وَكَيْفَ يُحَكِّمُونَكَ وَعِنْدَهُمُ التَّوْرَاةُ فِيهَا حُكْمُ اللَّهِ ثُمَّ يَتَوَلَّوْنَ مِنْ بَعْدِ ذَلِكَ وَمَا أُولَٰئِكَ بِالْمُؤْمِنِينَ. And Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in the light of Quran, explained to them which was the order of Allah, which was in 100% accordance to the hukam of Allah ta'ala that was in the Torah. And Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam also mentioned on that occasion, Allahumma inni awwalu man ahya amraka. Oh Allah, I am the first person that established your order, that established your order after these people neglected it. In other words, they were looking for avenues because they found this order of Allah ta'ala to be very difficult, that how can we pell this person to death? They found it very difficult, so they were looking for ways out. And Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, on whom this Quran was revealed, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, according to the teachings of the Quran, which was in accordance to the teachings of the Zabur, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam explained to them that this person will be pelted to death. And as I mentioned, that there are four types of hudud, which Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu said regarding this rajam, that inna la najidu min ar-rajmi buddan, there is no escape from this rajam. Whoever will commit this crime, and with substantial proof, when it is found that this person is guilty of that crime, then according to the Islamic law of these four hudud, this person, either his hands will be cut or he will be pelted. One incident comes to mind. In the time of Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, a woman by the name of Fatima Makhzumiya, who belonged to that tribe, she was a woman of rank and status, and she stole something. So the Sahaba Ikram and the people of that time found it difficult that for this woman's hand to be cut. She is a woman of status, and if her hands will be cut, it will really be an embarrassment for her. So they decided, let us ask someone to intercede on behalf of her to Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that O Nabi of Allah, excuse this woman. We know it is the order of Allah ta'ala that the hand should be cut off, but this woman is a woman of status and rank, and it will be really embarrassing if her hands will be cut off. So Hazrat Usama bin Zayd radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, Hibbu Rasulillah, the beloved of Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, was chosen for this task to intercede on behalf of this woman. When he came before Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was reclining, and when he heard this intercession of the sahabi, he got up at once and he said, Atashfa'u fi haddim min hududillah? Oh my sahabi, do you want me to compromise in one order of Allah, in one had from the hudud of Allah? How can the deen of Allah ever be flexible? وَالَّذِي نَفْسُ مُحَمَّدٍ بِيَدِهِ. Then to make the sahabi understand, and to make the entire ummah understand till the day of Qiyamah, what is the status of the order of Allah, and how should a Muslim conduct himself when it comes to the orders of Allah? Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wasallam then explained, and he said, وَالَّذِي نَفْسُ مُحَمَّدٍ بِيَدِهِ. Uzzat ki qasam, jo nafs Muhammad ka malik hai. I take the oath of that being in whose control is the life of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. That is, I take the oath of Allah ta'ala, if my daughter Fatima, لو كانت فاطمة بنت محمد سرقت, if my daughter Fatima has to steal, لقطعت يدها, I will cut her hands, so that the world can see at large the order of Allah will prevail even at the cost of the hands of the daughter of the Nabi of Allah. There is no compromise when it comes to the deen of Almighty Allah. So Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala discusses the penalty, and as I mentioned, Allah ta'ala says, وَلْيَشْهَدَ عَذَابَهُمَا طَائِفَةٌ مِّنَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ, that a group of believers should witness this. Mawlana Shabir Ahmad Uthmani rahmatullah alayhi writes that one of the possibilities, or one of the reasons why Allah ta'ala has made it such that this sin should the penalty of the sin should be witnessed by a group of Muslims. One is so that they can see the consequences of the violation of the orders of Allah, and at the same time this should bring mercy into their hearts, and they should make dua maghfirat for their brother and their sister, not to criticize them and to run them down, but to see their disgrace and make dua to Allah. Allah must protect them from the disgrace of akhirat, and Allah Ta'ala must forgive them and pardon their sins. This is the reason why Allah Ta'ala has made it such that when this penalty will be exercised on this adulterer or this adulteress, then it should be witnessed by a group of people. Sahib Jalaleen Rahmatullah Alayhi writes, it doesn't have to be a large group of people, even if it is 5 to 10 people, it will suffice. The idea is that the people should pay heed, and the lesson should be extracted that in future one should not take the courage of disobeying Almighty Allah. Now Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala discusses a different aspect also relating to zina. Allah Ta'ala mentions, الزاني لا ينكح إلا زانية أو مشركة والزانية لا ينكحها إلا زان أو مشرك وحرم ذلك على المؤمنين. There are many tafasir to this particular verse, but inshallah we will highlight the easiest one. Allah Ta'ala mentions, an adulterer will only get married to an adulteress or an idolater. We are not speaking here of the permissibility of the nikah of an adulterer to an adulteress. We are speaking of a general condition. Generally speaking, that person who is involved in an act of zina and fornication, who does this act of zina, who is an adulterer, if he has to get married, he will look towards a woman who comes from the very same environment, because al-jinsu yamilu ila al-jins, whatever environment you live in, you desire to see a very same person. And when a person looks for a partner, he looks for someone with his likes and his dislikes. So Allah Ta'ala mentions az-zani, that person, an adulterer, he will only get married to an adulteress. And nikah will not be his object. His object is zina, that is to fulfill his passion and desire. Because if he gets married, then marriage will make him paban. He has to support a wife, he has to support children, and now he'll be restricted to one woman which he dislikes. So nikah is not his object. His object is passion and desire. But many a times, if he'll want to satisfy his passion with a particular woman, she is only ready to satisfy him if they come to an understanding of nikah. And that also, maybe that particular woman is coming to the agreement of nikah because of pressure that is coming on her from her family that it is time you get married. So the object is not nikah. The object is to fulfill the passion and desire. Oh mushrika, and because his object is to fulfill his passion, he will not differentiate between the believer and the disbeliever, between the believer and the idolater, so long as he can fulfill his passion. If it means it is an adulteress and his object can be fulfilled, he will go and he will have an inclination towards her. And if it means it's a mushrika, an idolater, then too he will perform nikah. Although this nikah is kal adam, as though this nikah is not performed because it is batil, and it is still as zina. Just as he was making zina, he was having ta'alluq with a woman prior to nikah, to have after nikah with a mushrika, with an idolater, that nikah does not exist in the eyes of Islam and in Shariat. So this is equal to zina as well. So Allah Ta'ala mentions that person whose desire and whose object, whose goal is zina and fornication, nikah is something that he will dread, and nikah is something that he will dislike, because after nikah a person is restricted to one woman, and because his priorities are upside down, so he won't able to see the beauty of nikah, where a person has one wife and he satisfies his desires with this partner, and she satisfies her desires with her husband, and then Allah Ta'ala blesses them with pious offspring, and this muhabbat and this unity and this love and this family life that Allah Ta'ala has made for insan, which insan needs in this life, because he had destroyed his nature, so he cannot see the beauty of this, and he only sees his object, and that is zina. Now Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala mentions in the second juz of the Quran, which I think is of paramount importance for me to highlight on this occasion. Allah Ta'ala mentions, وَلَا تُنْكِحُ الْمُشْرِكَاتِ حَتَّى يُؤْمِنَّ وَلَأَمَةٌ مُؤْمِنَةٌ خَيْرٌ مِّن مُشْرِكَةٍ وَلَوْ أَعْجَبَتْكُمْ وَلَا تُنْكِحُ الْمُشْرِكِينَ حَتَّى يُؤْمِنُوا وَلَعَبْدٌ مُؤْمِنٌ خَيْرٌ مِّن مُشْرِكٍ وَلَوْ أَعْجَبَكُمْ أُولَئِكَ يَدْعُونَ إِلَى النَّارِ وَاللَّهُ يَدْعُو إِلَى الْجَنَّةِ وَالْمَغْفِرَةِ بِإِذْنِهِ. Allah says, do not perform your nikah with the idolaters, with the mushrikat, until they bring iman. Then Allah Ta'ala says, وَلَأَمَةٌ مُؤْمِنَةٌ, that Muslim girl is better than that mushrik girl, even if she be more attractive. Even if this mushrik girl has more physical beauty and she is more attractive and she is more wealthy. Then to Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala says, this Muslim girl that perhaps lacks beauty and lacks wealth, then too, if you have to weigh the options, then give priority to this Muslim girl. Why? Because Allah Ta'ala mentions, أُولَٰئِكَ يَدْعُونَ إِلَى النَّارِ. She will take you towards Jahannam, and Allah is inviting you towards Jannah. And the actual beauty is spiritual beauty. Physical beauty is very temporary and it is limited. In fact, it is not only limited to this dunya. A person that has beauty in his young days, many a times we see in old age, that particular girl, she loses her beauty when she starts aging and wrinkles come on the face. Allah Ta'ala mentions it in the Quran, لِكَيْ لَا يَعْلَمَ بَعْدَ عِلْمٍ شَيْئًا. That when a person becomes old, وَمَنْ نُعَمِّرْهُ نُنَكِّسْهُ فِي الْخَلْقِ أَفَلَا يَعْقِلُونَ. We repeat childhood. And just like this person had beauty perhaps when she was young or he was young, after they start aging, they lose their sight, they lose all their faculties, and they lose all their beauty. So the actual beauty is not the physical beauty. I am not saying that on the occasion of nikah, one should not look at physical beauty. No, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam has mentioned that prior to nikah, when a person wants to get married, then he should look at the quality that invites him in that woman, so that after nikah, it doesn't lead to any problems. So we are not saying we should ignore physical beauty. But Nabi Allah Ta'ala mentions in the Quran that if there is a mushrik, that is a disbeliever, and she has beauty, and on the other hand there is a believer and she lacks beauty, and you have to make a choice between the two, then you have to choose the believer, because she has iman, and spiritual beauty is that beauty that shines at every moment. When that girl was small and she was pious, people used to speak about her piety. When she was a teenager and she was pious, that beauty was still shining out of her. And when she grew up and she became an elderly woman and she lost all physical beauty, but she used to make tahajjud and she used to fast, then two people used to speak about this beauty of hers, and that beauty was sparkling till her last day, and it will sparkle in the qabr, and wallah, it will sparkle on the day of qiyamah. يَوْمَ يَقُولُ الْمُنَافِقُونَ وَالْمُنَافِقَاتُ لِلَّذِينَ آمَنُوا انظُرُونَا نَقْتَبِسْ مِن نُورِكُمْ قِيلَ ارْجِعُوا وَرَاءَكُمْ فَالْتَمِسُوا نُورًا. And this spiritual light that she had in this dunya will give her a physical light on the day of qiyamah, and each believer and every mu'min and mu'minah will move in her light. And the munafiqeen will tell them, unzuruna, look towards us. Naqtabis min nurikum, we also want to derive some of your light. We have absolutely no light. These very same munafiqeen who in this dunya had physical beauty, this kuffar who had physical beauty, but because of the lack of spiritual beauty, there's nothing but darkness. Likewise, Allah Ta'ala mentions, وَلَعَبْدٌ مُؤْمِنٌ خَيْرٌ مِّن مُشْرِكٍ وَلَوْ أَعْجَبَكُمْ. That Muslim boy who lacks beauty is better than that mushrik boy, that mushrik male who possesses beauty. Why? Because he has spiritual beauty. So the actual quality is, the actual thing is iman. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala mentions that that person who's involved in zina, he will only take a liking and he will have an inclination towards the one that is involved in zina. Likewise, وَالزَّانِيَةُ لَا يَنْكِحُهَا إِلَّا زَانٍ أَوْ مُشْرِكٍ. And an adulteress, only he will get married to her who is an adulterer or a mushrik. In other words, that woman that is involved in zina and fornication, that Muslim male who wants to get married and who fears Allah and who has feared Allah and who has protected his limbs from haram, who has guarded his eyes from looking at haram, who has guarded and protected every limb and organ of his body from haram or from a strange woman, when he is going to choose a woman, he is not going to choose an adulteress, because he protected Allah. He wants a girl that also protected Allah. Perhaps we find that it happens, it is just but correct and it is logic. A person who fears Almighty Allah, he is going to look for a girl that fears Allah. Maybe that girl has not committed zina, but then too she has been exposed to strange men. She has been exposed to an environment where it was a common practice with her to speak to strange men, to entertain strange men. So this person whose fitrat is preserved, who has preserved his nature, he is not going to take a liking to this girl. Allah Ta'ala mentions, وَالزَّانِيَةُ, and that adulteress, only he will get married to her who is an adulterer or a mushrik, as I mentioned earlier on. Now the point that I want to explain here, what the commentators have mentioned here, we are not speaking of the permissibility of nikah. If an adulterer wants to get married to an adulteress and they repent and they want to make a proper family life and they turn to Allah and the nikah is performed, then this nikah is absolutely correct. This is the fatwa of the jumhur, the majority of the ulama, and the very same fatwa of Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu, who is the father of tafsir, is quoted in Tafsir Ibn Kathir. So ya Allah Ta'ala is not mentioning the masla of sihhat the nikah and adam sihhat, of it being correct and accepted. Ya Allah Ta'ala is mentioning a general condition that this is what will happen.